Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to today's episode of Marv on Air. I'm just as excited to be talking sports with you on this glorious, one-of-a-kind, awesome, amazing, wonderful Wednesday that is January 17th, 2024, as you are to be listening to it. I hope, at least. We have a few things to cover. It is the dead of the week here, as I'm not super bought into the NHL or NBA. There was a couple things that happened last night in those leagues. But as you guys know, this is an NFL podcast, so I won't be going too into, actually, I won't be touching those at all. I won't even say not in depth, because I'm not even going to talk about them. We got NFL stuff to talk about, but today's episode should be a little bit shorter than usual. If you enjoyed today's content, make sure you go and leave a review or whatever, really helps me out. But otherwise, let's just jump right on into it. And I think for today, I got a really interesting little concept. I'm going to start off the episode with some trivia. I'll say it here in a second, and then I'll answer it at the end. So if you really want to find out the answer to the trivia and you get really bored, just jump to the end. Otherwise, I hope you stick around for the stuff in the middle. My question for today is, what is Christian McCaffrey's longest punt return in yards? How many yards was his longest punt return? And I will get back to you at the end of the episode on that. Speaking of Christian McCaffrey, that's where we'll start. Christian McCaffrey is set to be a full participant in practice today. So, obviously, San Francisco had that bye week last week when all of the wildcard teams were duking it out. And they had some time to rest up, and it appears as though Christian McCaffrey may be at full strength, which is huge for this 49ers team, especially when you consider injuries are what plagued them last postseason. They were on to their fourth quarterback in the NFC Championship game, missing key components to their offense. I'm not saying this team is fully healthy, but yesterday I kind of alluded to the fact that there could be some element of rust to these first-round bye teams, right? Like the Ravens and the 49ers, they are going to be facing teams that are red hot right now. Packers, Texans, unbelievably, underrated in my opinion, especially when you consider where they came from. And they're playing like lights out right now, but devil's advocate to that, these teams are a lot healthier now with this week off. And that's, it's not like they just sat around on their couch all week. I don't know exactly what they do because unfortunately I am not in the NFL, but they definitely did something. You got to imagine they at least got up and went for a walk, walk their dogs or something. So they definitely got moving. And it appears as though Christian McCaffrey will be ready to go for the game, provided he doesn't sustain an injury, during this week, which would be absolutely catastrophic. But, I wouldn't put it past the 49ers. It's just kind of been their luck last year especially. But they've been pretty healthy this year. So hopefully they can keep things under control and come in and take care of business. Because as a, I go to Iowa State, be pretty cool to see Brock Purdy win a Super Bowl. I don't love that he gets the publicity of, being just a last round pick, or last overall pick in the draft. And that's why he gets all of his pub. I wish that it was because he's a good quarterback. But he also does go out and throw four interceptions. So, there's levels to this. But that all being said, it's just exciting to see that potentially we could have like a full blown matchup between the Packers and the 49ers. If both teams are completely healthy, obviously I'm going to lean 49ers. I've been leaning their way all year long, but if it ends up being a really close game, even better. Kind of what I talked about in my video when I went over the CFP. Like, it was, definitely a topic of conversation, the teams that got in there, but what happened was we got two really, really good semifinal games, and that's really all you can ask for. So if we get really good divisional round games, then that's really all we can ask for, right? I don't really care who wins. I just want good games. I am impartial. As a Patriots fan, I am looking forward to April. So, looking forward, obviously, coaching going to be huge. A lot of coaching talk going on. Yesterday, I talked on Tomlin potentially being on the move and some other big names such as, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh, interesting, could be making that return to the NFL. I'll touch on a few of those right here, right now. Tomlin addressed the team apparently yesterday and said, hey, he plans to be back for 2024, okay? Guys, I'm coming back. We're going to go 9-8, maybe sneak in the playoffs, maybe just miss them, end up with a 15-16 overall pick. We're going to do what we do here, you know what I mean? So they, he hasn't addressed the media yet. He will potentially do that this week. But I, you know, he's not in any rush. You know, it's not like, as long as the team knows what's going on, then there's not really any incentive for him to be like, all right, guys, I know media. This is one of my favorite things to do. I'll just come out, talk to you guys, tell you what's going on exactly in our building. No, he's not that way. He's just going to take his time with that. But apparently he has addressed the team and said, I do plan to be back. He has a year left on his contract, so whether that gets addressed this offseason or not is yet to be seen. I don't think it's something that's exactly pressing for him. I don't think it's something that he is looking forward to. Like, I have to do this right now. Doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. I think he's a lot more concerned with the football side of things, but obviously time will tell. And I'm sure it's one of those things where if it comes up and they're like, yeah, it sounds like a good deal, you know, if he's, you know, whatever, I'm sure it'll get done. But I don't think it's something where Tomlin's going to be walking in and be like, all right, we got to get this figured out right now. So that's, you know, it's good news for Steelers fans. Definitely good news for Steelers fans. I think it's one of those things where the grass isn't always greener. You know, I would say a good example of that was Rodgers to the Jets, but he got injured. So there's not really a good way to know if that is a good example. But, you know, a lot of these teams that fire their head coach or whatever, and then they end up, you know, not doing as good the next year or whatever the case might be. You have teams all the time firing head coaches. Look at the Panthers, for example. And it just doesn't end up panning out. Like, trust me, grass is not always greener. I'm excited to see what the Patriots do with Jerod Mayo, but I mean, who knows? He's an open Belichick. Obviously, they have different names. That could be a big deal. Speaking of things that happened right now, this is interesting. The Saints are moving on from Pete Carmichael. I hope I said that right. And as the OC and Bob Bicknell as the senior assistant of the offense. So this is something that is interesting to me because when I made my head coach's video on how hot their seat is, I didn't really go that hard on Dennis Allen. Kind of let him just exist. And Saints fans let me hear that. They were very in my ear about, we want Dennis Allen gone. Okay. So far that is not the case. I would imagine if they make that firing, that, you know, Dennis Allen comes, you know, soon after, but potentially, I guess maybe they draw it out. But as things stand right now, they're just replacing the OC and Dennis Allen will stick around. So I guess I'm curious to see what Saints fans have to say about that. I'll be perusing the internet today. Definitely an early podcast today. 10 a.m. is when I'm recording this. So a lot of news from today has not yet broke. I apologize, but Wednesdays are my busy days. I'm in class starting at like 11 until 4:30. So I will be unable to record later, which is too bad. I want to get this out so you guys can listen to it. But regardless, I don't know who the Saints will bring in on offense. They'll obviously, Derek Carr is still there. And they'll have a couple of other questions to answer, such as their mummification of a wide receiver and running back Kamara and Michael Thomas. I don't know what will happen with those guys. Very weird careers for those two. I mean, can we all agree on that? That's a weird situation. But regardless, Saints, definitely someone to keep your eye on in the NFC South, same division. Okay. Falcons. Remember we talked about them interviewing Bill Belichick. Okay. Very surprising to me. Interesting. Yes. Allegedly, this is per one of those JPA football accounts on Twitter. So how much weight do you really give this? Per them, allegedly, Bill Belichick said he wants to go to a talented but underperforming team, something along those lines, which I think is interesting. It makes complete sense. But that would, you know, Falcons, Chargers, those would be, excuse me, wow, those would be good options for him there. But the Falcons, they just completed an interview with none other than Mr. John Harbaugh. Right? Yes? Jim is the Falcons? Man, they got way too similar of names. But regardless, the Harbaugh, is potentially looking at the Falcons as well. So I think if he's done interviews in both situations, okay, this is how I look at it. If he has interviewed in LA for the Chargers, in Atlanta for the Falcons, think about this on a map. This is something we don't really think about a whole lot. He's in Michigan. Okay, he flew all the way to LA. Sure. Okay, he flew to LA. Cool. He's a, you know, Got a lot of things to do. Busy guy. He can get around the nation, whatever. Okay. Then he goes to Atlanta? So he's taking this head coaching in the NFL pretty seriously if he's going cross-country and interviewing in two separate, you know, cities. It's not like it's two teams, I think, would be a pretty good indicator, but it's not like it's the Rams and the Chargers or the Chargers and the 49ers or the Chargers and the Cardinals. Not saying that those teams are looking for head coaches, but they're just close to each other, right? Like, it's like, oh, on my way back to Michigan, you know, I'll stop in Arizona. I'll stop in Las Vegas, whatever. No, I'm going all the way over to Atlanta. Okay, maybe he's got late family Christmas or something in Atlanta. I don't know. Okay, I have no idea. But to me, that indicates he is very, very seriously considering coming to the NFL, which I think is pretty exciting. Everybody remembers 10 years ago when the Harbaugh brothers faced off in the Super Bowl. And I'm sure he wants to get some bragging rights back, you know, bringing home a chip for whatever city he ends up in. And that'll be really exciting for them. But yeah, speaking of bringing home a chip, Travis and Jason Kelce, I suppose, both, they had their New Heights podcast, and Jason Kelce came out and kind of talked about what was his retirement. Kind of said he's not really retired. It was interesting. He didn't actually say it. Kind of was like, you know, when I do say it, it's going to be, you know, something where I'm, you know, respectful to everyone that has helped me along this journey. And, you know, I pay my dividends and like let everyone know how much I appreciate them and stuff. So to me, it sounds like he just doesn't want to make his official announcement yet because he doesn't have everything prepared, right? It's like my birthday is last week. It's not, but let's say hypothetically, my birthday is last week. I didn't feel like having a party at the time because I didn't have anything prepared. I didn't have a cake. I didn't have balloons. I didn't have streamers. So let's just wait till this weekend to really celebrate and do it the right way, right? Like my birthday still happened. I'm still retired, but I don't want to, you know, actually release it in a way. And he talked to the guys in the locker room. It was just kind of like, you know, cherish every moment you have in the NFL. If this is your last game, I'm sorry. You know, this is just a shitty way to go out. And so I think he is still retired, and he addressed the team about it and everything. I think some people are wondering if he's not retired by the comments he made. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think he is still, you know, that's his plan. He just hasn't officially released it in the way that he wants to. So that's a little tidbit on Jason Kelce there if you're really interested in them. I saw something about, like, what's her name? Brittany Mahomes and Taylor Swift. They wore these jackets that I think it's Kyle Juszczyk. His wife made them. Those, like, puffer jacket jersey things. And since then, I don't know if it's all three or if it's just Taylor and Brittany, but they've gotten, like, 400,000 followers between them since then, which is, like, literally Sunday. And or Saturday, I guess, for the Chiefs. So yeah, it'd be Saturday. And it's like more than any NFL player in that time. And I'm just thinking, what NFL player would garner enough attention to get over 400,000 followers in that time? It's a weird stat, but I suppose, you know, whatever. So shout out to them. Shout out to those puffer jackets. Juszczyk, if you see this and you want to send me a Patriots puffer jacket, you just let me know. I will not object to that. I would gladly endorse that. That is a sick product. It looked pretty cool on them. So just a little, you know, if you're into the Kelces, you're probably into the Mahomes and the Taylor Swift thing. Might want to know about that. Okay. Last topic of conversation for today. Today's going to be a quick one. Like I said, got to get the move on. But this is big. I saw this on Twitter and I kind of wrote it off. And then I was like, you know what? I've written off way too many things that ended up being really big. So I'm going to touch on it today. There's a video of Josh Allen from when they were playing the Steelers on his touchdown run. Breaks off a big touchdown run. I think it was in the fourth quarter or late in the third. Not a broadcast version. So I didn't see the clock and I didn't actually get to watch that game, unfortunately. He takes off, you know, kind of in a, almost like a power hole, you know, off the inside of the tackle, and does a little stutter step and then takes his way to the end zone, you know, just full speed, full speed. And a lot of people were saying that it was an attempt at a fake slide. And here's my thing with this, okay? And I feel like I'm pretty vocal about this, pretty consistent. And I saw this in the Twitter comments. So if you are thinking this, you know, if you've seen this, there's a pretty good chance that you're thinking along the same lines as I am. In my opinion, when a quarterback crosses the line of scrimmage, they are a runner. In my opinion. And if that's not how you feel, that's not how you feel. You can turn off the podcast, just be like, hey, this guy stinks. You know, whatever the case is, that's fine. But I personally get very, very irritated because the defense has absolutely no shot. The Kenny Pickett fake slide, that's one where you get one. As the entire football community, you get one of those and it gets banned immediately. Kudos to Kenny Pickett for being that, you know, trailblazer, I guess, even though it was just one person, for getting it done, being the first person to do that. I'm not knocking Kenny Pickett there, but you do have to understand as the defense how hard that is, because what are you supposed to do? You have to let up to avoid a penalty, and then he can just go free because he didn't go down. So that's my thing with it, is that it puts the defense in an impossible position. I know that the NFL is trying to protect their quarterbacks because they are officially, like, they are, you know, technically what drives the league. They are. Teams are played through quarterbacks. Teams are built through quarterbacks. I totally understand that. And I, you know, this year more than ever, we've seen backup quarterback play. Okay. And yes, some of them aren't as good, but like Jake Browning came in, played pretty good for the Bengals. I thought Gardner Minshew almost took the Colts to the playoffs, right? Like, Joe Flacco is technically a backup. Not that I'm saying he's backup caliber, but technically he wasn't the guy that the Browns brought in to be the franchise guy. And obviously there's tons and tons more, but those are the standout examples. To me, I just don't see how it's fair to the defense for that quarterback to get special privileges, I guess, as outside the pocket, I guess, because every player can give themselves up. I feel like Tyler Lockett is pretty well known for this. He just goes down quite a bit, preserving his brain. Shout out to him. Smart move, okay? But you just, especially when they slide late, dude, that's what really makes me mad, because they're already in the motion of making the tackle or making the hit, and then the head comes right into where the line of impact is, and bang, 15 yards. It is so rare that a defensive player is maliciously trying to destroy the quarterback's, you know, head, or whatever. That on top of how rough it is for them to get a sack on the quarterback without a penalty, that on top of how rough it is for them to make a tackle in the open field without a penalty, how tough it is for them to go up for a pass without getting a penalty. And I'm not trying to, you know, completely take the defensive side here, because I think really the rules as a league, all of the rules just are so out of control right now. Everyone's getting called for everything. Everyone's getting called for everything. You know, everything's getting let through. Everything, you know, it's just ridiculous. It doesn't even make any sense. It is asinine, the situation that the rules, the NFL rules and penalty situation is in right now. It is horrible. I don't like watching it, you know. I would rather watch a game with no penalties than too many, but then you get a game with no penalties and then you get a penalty at the end, or you get a game with a ton of penalties and then on the last drive they let like 7 holding calls go and they had 15 called before that, or lopsided penalties. Everyone's experienced this as a sports fan. It's on some level, whether it's your high school team, whether it's your favorite NFL team, you know, on some level, everyone's experienced, whether it be actual malicious, you know, game management by the refs or just ineptitude. You know, just inability to call the game correctly. That's also entirely possible. So everyone's experienced it on both sides. You know, as a Patriots fan, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for, you know, the Patriots got away with so many rules. A lot of calls that weren't made. Obviously, the tuck rule, huge one. Sure. Okay. I will say just as much as any other team, I think, but especially back in the day, Patriots got away with a lot of calls, okay? But we also got a lot of calls on us. timing of those are very important. Some people will say a holding call in the first quarter is just as important as it is in the fourth quarter. I don't necessarily agree with that. You make a holding call when a team is down by seven or up by seven with the ball on the opponent's 40 with less than 3 minutes to go. That call is on, like, you know, third and eight, and it's an incomplete pass. That call is significantly more important than a holding call to start the game. They both impact the game, yes, but definitely in different ways, because then the game is officially over with that holding call at the end of the game. So that being said, all of the rules in the NFL just make absolutely no sense. And I'm not saying that the defense is completely in the right here at all times, because there are definitely bad DPI calls that just aren't made. And there are definitely, malicious hits all the time. But I just don't think that you can side with the offense so much to where those kinds of plays are allowed. And it makes me think of the Chiefs-Packers game. I don't even know when that was, like week 10, week 11. And Patrick Mahomes got that personal foul, unnecessary roughness call. And he was still in bounds. And it was simply because, obviously, he is Patrick Mahomes. He is kind of the face of the league, but he is a main quarterback. You know, he's a big quarterback. If that's Jake Browning, that's not a call. You know, if that's DTR, it's not a call. But he's just running out of bounds, not even really slowing up either, which is interesting. Because if he's slowing up, I can maybe see where they're coming from. But he was for sure running hard, and it was close to the first down. You have to make that hit, and then you get called for 15. So I think quarterbacks should be officially, you know, the same as a running back. I don't think that there should be, you know, and this will never happen, but I don't think that there should be any necessarily bias towards them to give them more calls. But that really just starts to dive into the state of NFL officiating as a whole. And I've kind of went on way too much of a rambling tangent for that. Just because I don't think it's good right now. I really don't. I don't know what the fix is. We'll probably dive into that more in the offseason. But it's just bad right now. With that being said, that's really all I have for today. So I'll tell you guys the answer to the trivia question I led off with right after I say, I've got some really good videos brewing on YouTube. So you're going to want to go check out my channel for that. It's the same name, Marv On Air, on YouTube. Those are going to be really, really fun. I'm really excited to get those out this week. I think I'm going to release two, maybe three. That'd be a really cool, you know, it's syllabus week, so I can maybe get three out. If you enjoy the stuff, you know, favoriting the podcast, I think, is a thing, following it or whatever, and then leaving a review is really huge, so we can get to more ears. But the answer to the trivia question, what was Christian McCaffrey's longest punt return, is 25 yards. He did 22 punt returns back in 2017, the first year of his career, for a total of 162 yards, 9 fair catches, and he had a long of 25. He also had 3 kickoff return attempts, totaling for 58 yards, and his long on that was 21. So, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Today's episode was a little bit shorter than yesterday's, and I will see you guys tomorrow for another. We're going to do a little bit more divisional round breakdown. It's going to be really exciting. And I hope you guys have a wonderful, 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 wonderful Wednesday, because it's early enough that you can have a full day ahead of you. Don't let anything take you down, huh? All right. Have a good one. Bye. See ya. Adios. Hasta luego. Hasta la vista. Yahoo!